So, welcome everyone. I think Brother Tyler is a 20 minutes, is that right? Oh, okay, don't say it. Tom says, don't tell him that, right? All right, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and we're going to discuss some Psalms this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for thy scripture, Father, is you have breathed it out. It is truth. It is all we need, Heavenly Father, for righteousness, to know what you expect and how to glorify you and to please you. Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you'd glorify yourself in the Lord Jesus. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of expression, Father. I pray that you'd accomplish what needs to be done in every heart, Heavenly Father, today. I pray that you give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive what you say. And get glory for yourself, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, Lord, and thank you. Amen. We're going to talk about a couple of psalms today, one very lightly. We're going to talk about two psalms that have the heading, and we know these headings are, we believe they're inspired, that say a prayer, that the heading is a prayer. And there are only five of them, 17, 86, 90, 102, and 142. And 142 is where we're going to spend most of our time. And today we're talking about David when he was in the cave. And there's two psalms that mention him being in the cave. This is when he was running, hiding from Saul. Psalm 57 and 142. Or these two psalms, when David was in the cave. It could have been in Gedi or Abdullah, I believe it is. Not sure which and at what time necessarily. But in Psalm 57, and we'll look there briefly, David's going through trials. Of course, it's not an easy time. He had to run from Saul, right? Saul was trying to kill him. So he's hiding for his life. And at the time, a lot of the time, initially, he was by himself, right, alone. And we'll see that later in what we discuss. But this first one, Psalm 57, even though he's going through a very deep, dark time, it's almost like a song of triumph because of the faith he exhibits during this trial. And looking at Psalm 57, 1 through 3, we see here that he does have trouble, 1 through 3, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. So we see he is going through a time of trouble. But the destruction he talks about here basically is overshadowed by his faith in God. In verse 3, he says, he will send from heaven and save me. So even though he's going through a time of trouble, his eyes are on God. His eyes are not on his circumstances. He's looking to God. He knows God's going to save him. Verses 4 through 6, interesting, he talks a little more about the trial he's going through. Verses 4, and my soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. 5 and 6, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. So we see here on the either side of verse 5, he talks about the troubles. He's among lions. He's among men whose words are fire, arrows and spears and sharp swords. People are talking about him, lying about him, talking to him and about him, really mistreating him with their mouth, with their words. And then they also have set traps for him to fall, so he'll fall. But then right in the middle between those two verses, verse 5, he has his eyes on God, and he says, be exalted, O God. So he praises God in the midst of all he's going through. In verse 7 and 11, we see his faith continues to triumph. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted, the same thing he said in verse 5 here. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. So we see in the midst of this trial, in the cave, David is rejoicing. He sees victory here, right? Even though he's going through it, he has his eyes on God and he's not despairing. God's grace, sometimes when we go through trials, sometimes God's grace enables us to rejoice in God during those times in the midst of our trials. So we've experienced that before, right? You go through this trial, you've been through it before, and you keep your head on, eyes on the Lord, keep your head above water, and you praise in God during this time. That happens. But God sometimes allows us to sorely struggle in our trials, to great depths of darkness. In his wisdom and his grace, he allows these times also. And we're going to look at that in verse Psalm 142. Psalm 142 is where we'll spend most of our time. This is the last of 8 psalms that were written about the time when David was fleeing from Saul. This is the last one. In verses, I'm going to go by this verse by verse. Psalm 142. Again, this is a prayer when he was in the cave, the heading, notice. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. The very first verse here, interesting. I cry aloud. The word cry, the root word of that actually is to shriek from anguish or danger. So we see here, this is an emotional outburst. And he cried aloud with his voice. He says it twice, with his voice. He's talking out loud. This is not silent prayer alone in his cave. He is exuding his pain out loud to God, his voice. And he makes his supplication, he says, again, with my voice. Supplication, of course, is implore, beseech. To seek favor by petitioning someone. So he's asking God, he's beseeching God for help. With my voice, this is interesting, with my voice, one of the commentators, I think it might have been Spurgeon, says basically when we talk out loud to God, we're alone, right? By ourselves pouring out, talking to God out loud. It actually helps clear our mind. It helps us more clearly see what our real need is. And to actually more clearly focus on where our help is, talking out loud. So it's kind of interesting. He would repeat that twice. And notice, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to God. There's nobody there to help him now. He's by himself. He doesn't have anybody else to talk to. But he's crying out to God. Another time in Psalm 3, verse 4, we won't turn there, but this is when David, what a time of anguish, when his own son had deceived him, Absalom, took over the throne, and he had to flee from his own son. Can you imagine? He loved Absalom. And yet here he was having to run from his own son. And again, it's a similar situation. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. So we see these times of anguish is when he was crying out loud. In verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. I pour out. That is a word, it means to spill forth, to gush out, like water overflowing. And the word complaint is interesting. It's not like, God, what are you doing? Why am I going through this? He's not complaining. It's not. The word is actually to ponder. converse with oneself. So David is inside, is in turmoil, he's struggling. This is what depression does, right? We're within ourselves, our mind is confused, and we're just darkness. That's what he's talking about here. He poured out his innermost being to God. He basically, we would say, he spilled his guts. He's spilling his guts. He's just sharing everything again before him. Pour out my complaints before him, to God, not to man. And he declares, I declare my trouble before him. Trouble is the word is tightness or narrow. We would say he's in a tight spot or in dire straits. He was in a tight spot. The word can also mean trouble, anxiety, distress, or affliction. And again, before him, I declare my trouble before him. Now, as we look at this trouble that David's going through, we don't need to overlook the fact that he has access to God, right? It's not like he's just floundering and talking to the wall and caves, just talking to himself in the wall. He actually has access to God. He's talking, he keeps talking and sharing things to God, to him. We have that same access, and we want to keep in mind Hebrews 4:15 and 16, and we know this verse very well. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the writer of Hebrews tells us we have that access also. We have that very same access. Now, during this trial in verses 3 here, we see flashes of faith. We see a flash of faith here, flash of faith in verse 3. When my spirit, he's thinking back now to time in past. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. David now is remembering a time in the past when God knew his path. He was going through struggles, and you, God, you knew me. I've been through this before. I remember it, same similar situation, another trial, but you knew all about it. He knew exactly what David was going through. It's interesting, let's see here. Oh yes, when my spirit was overwhelmed, the word overwhelmed. Overwhelmed, the root word of that is to shroud, to hide darkness, to shroud in darkness. So we basically see here that when my spirit was overwhelmed, when my spirit was in darkness, when I was depressed previously, you knew all about it, God, because God brought him out previously. Now, it's a good thing he remembered, it's perfect timing, right? Because now, God, again, here I am. My path now is being, there's snares laid for me in the path that I'm taking today. So I need you again, Lord, to look closely at my path like you did previously. And then again, we see a little bit of the depths of the despair. Sad, verse 4, God, he didn't say that, but look to the right and see. For there's no one who regards me. There's no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Look to the right. Normally, that's where your help would be, right? Your right-hand man. He's my right-hand man. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. To the right is where your help would be. But you look over there, there's nobody. There's nobody there, God. There's nobody at my side. How sad. There's no one there. And there's no one who regards me. Nobody's thinking about me. When we go through depression, that's what we think, right? We feel. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. There's nobody that even concerned about me, God. Here I am alone, depressed. And he says there's no escape. There's no way out, humanly speaking. I'm helpless. There's no way out. And then finally, nothing can be worse. No one cares for my soul. It's like I have not a friend in the world. I'm lonely. I'm depressed. My soul is dark, and I can't get out of this pit. I'm helpless. I need help. God, remember me. No one cares for my soul. When we get depressed, right, Satan wants us to think this very thing, that nobody cares. Nobody knows. How often have you thought in your time, I know in past, perhaps in your earlier in your walk, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody could possibly understand what I'm experiencing, right? Been there? That's what we think when we go through depression. The devil wants us to stay there, of course. And then, verse 5, we see a flash of faith again. Verse 5, I cried out to you in the past, Lord. Again, he keeps his head above water spiritually. He's sinking. His soul is dark, but he keeps his mind as best he's fighting to keep his eyes on God. I remember, I cried to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. In the past, Lord, I said, you're my refuge. I remember that. And here I am now. I'm in this cave. This cave is my refuge. But really, God, you were my refuge then, and you're my refuge now. You're my hiding place. And even more significant, you're my portion. I said it back in those days, my portion. You were my refuge, I said, and you're my portion in the land of the living. Portion is an interesting word. Portion, the root word of this is smoothness. And it came to apply to smooth stones being used to draw lots. Remember when, of course, Christ died, they drew lots for see who got his garments? They used smooth stones. And so it ended up being to be applied to like what portion you get. You know, draw lots to say, okay, let me draw a lot. Okay, here's yours. Here's your part. This is your part, etc. So, my portion. You are my part. You belong to me, God. You are my inheritance. You're my portion. I remembered that. Now he reminds himself of that faith in the past, and that encourages him now to continue to pray, right? Because he remembers how he thought in the past. God, you're my portion. And now, yes, are you still my portion? If you were my portion then in that trial, sure, you're my portion now. So it encourages him to continue to pray, right? And then he continues on in verse 6. I cried out to you, Lord. I said, six. Give heed to my cry, Lord, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Again, he continues to cry out to the Lord. Honestly, he just honest. God, I'm brought very low. What does that mean? How low is very low? Very low. We don't know what he was going through, but it was very low. And deliver me, Lord. I can't do it. They're too strong for me. I cannot make it. I can't fight this. I can't. Saul and his enemies out there physically, but also emotionally, spiritually. I can't do it, God. I'm at the end of myself. I can't do it. Help me. Help me. They are too strong for me. Everything I'm going through is too strong for me. Deliver me, Lord, from my persecutors. And then verse 7, as he closes out, it says, bring my soul out of prison. He's in cave, right? He's basically hiding. He can't get out. He'll be killed. Saul and his enemies, his armies are searching for him. So he's basically in prison, so to speak. But even worse than that, his soul is in prison. His soul is in a prison of darkness. He's depressed. Please bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So we see him closing out on faith. God, bring me out, because that'll cause me to praise you. And when I praise you, that's going to be a testimony to others. And the righteous, the righteous ones, the ones who believe in you, they're going to see what you did for me. And that's going to cause them to rejoice. And we'll be rejoicing together and praising you together. God, bring my soul out for your glory. Bring my soul out for your glory. And we'll all rejoice together. Now, and then finally he says, for you will deal bountifully with me. Even though he's going through the struggle, he's going through depression. He keeps his faith. He knows, God, I know it's troubling. No one cares for me. I'm feeling awful. I'm in darkness. My soul is in darkness. But you're going to take care of it. You're going to take care of it. He keeps his head, his eyes on God. No matter how weak his hand was, his hand had grabbed the right person. And that person he was grabbing onto or reaching up for reached down and grabbed him. God is the one who's going to meet his needs. And we see, and of course, 1 Samuel, God met David's needs. Psalms 22:1. So David, this in the title of the little section here, in the cave of Adullam, and in the cave of Adullam. This is in Psalm 22:1. This is my Bible has a heading that of chapter 22. So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. And he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. So at the end of the day, what did God do? They knew where he was. He thought nobody in the world cared. All of a sudden, here's his family shows up. 400 men. I mean, they were steals and thieves and whatever, but still, God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise, right? So he sees 400 men plus all his family. All of a sudden, he's not alone anymore. He's captain. He's got some gold. He's got somewhere to go, and his eyes are now off of his troubles, and God has rescued him. So he's ready to move forward in whatever God has for him next. So that's the psalm, and just some things for us to take away as we're praying for others today. We're praying for our brothers and sisters. We're praying for lost. Some thoughts to take away. We have always access to our God. We can and should be honest with God and unload, so to speak, our cares to him in complete honesty. And God sees and he knows exactly what you and our prayer list folks are going through. And he does care for our souls. Like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. And our troubles are too big for us alone. We need him and those whom he may send to us. And also now, even in this life, while we're going through our life of struggles, God is right now, even in this life, he's our possession. He's yours. If you're his child, he belongs to you and you belong to him. I am his and he is mine, the song says. He is our possession. And when we endure and God delivers us, we are a spiritual encouragement to others and to lost people. Don't give up. Pray without ceasing. And finally, as we go to prayer today, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. So let's lay down a few minutes of our life today for our folks on our prayer list. There's no greater love that we can do for that than praying for folks. Thank you, Brother Tyler.